Praise God. Well, this is the second message of Tongues of Fire. It's only been a short series, a couple of weeks. And a couple of weeks ago, I just began that series and talked about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the starting point, I guess, or where we based our thoughts was from a scripture in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, where Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he declares these wonderful words of truth. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I thank God, friends, we serve a God where nothing is impossible. There is nothing too hard for the Lord to do. Do you believe that? Do you really believe it? Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing too hard for the Lord to do. There's not one problem that he can't solve. So I don't know what problems you've got this morning, but I want to tell you, God's got an answer for them. In fact, he says, I will supply, I will meet your every need according to my riches in glory. Praise God. There's not one sickness that he can't heal. Great testimonies this morning. Scott and Lorraine sharing what God has done. And there are people sitting in this congregation this morning who can declare that the Lord has healed them. I am the Lord, Jehovah Rophika. I am the Lord your God that heals you. Friends, the Bible says he heals all. How many? All of our diseases. There is not one disease, not one sickness that the Lord can't heal, not one problem that he can't solve, and we praise him for that. Not one promise that he can't fulfill. How many of you are living with a promise from God and it seems as though it's never going to happen? Let me tell you, friends, when God promises something, he will fulfill it. He will, doesn't matter how many years it takes, God will fulfill his promise. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we could ever ask or think. But that is determined by one vital factor. Sometimes we overlook this. Sometimes we are unaware of it. Because when we pray and ask God to do something that is impossible for us to do, we are oftentimes looking for the resource, the answer to come from some external, you know, come down from heaven or come from somewhere externally. But here the Apostle Paul draws back something that I believe is revelationary if we'll only take hold of it. He says, God is able to do all of this far exceedingly abundantly, but it is according to the power, to the Spirit that works in us. You see, friends, the answer is not outside. The answer is in us. He's able to do it according to the power that works in us. The power of God that raised Jesus from the grave. Paul, writing to the church in Rome, in chapter 8, verse 11, he says this, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if that same Spirit dwells in you, if it dwells in you, he shall quicken your mortal body according to the Spirit that works in you. Hallelujah. Friends, you've got some dynamite inside of you. When we are baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, thank God there is a power. This power, this Spirit that Paul's referring to, is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of God. You shall receive power when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. The power of God, friends, that raised Jesus from the grave, when we are baptized in the Spirit, that same power lives and resides in you and me. Praise God. And Jesus said, when you are filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, you will be my witnesses. Witnesses to an unbelieving world that Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. He is alive. Do you believe that? He's alive. The world don't know that Jesus lives, but we do. Hallelujah. Friends, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a gift that God wants every born-again believer to receive. Just like salvation is the gift of God, so the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a gift that is being given by God. And He wants every born-again believer, just like we received salvation by faith, you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit by faith also. It's a gift that God wants to give, but we have to receive that gift by faith. Paul, talking to a group of believers at Ephesus, asked them a very important question. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Notice he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? These were believers, but they had not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Since they believed, they had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, whereas Paul began to explain that there was another baptism apart from the baptism of water. The Holy Spirit fell on them just like He did on us, Paul said, right at the beginning. Hallelujah. Friends, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, receiving the baptism, is a separate, it is a distinct experience from salvation. They are not one and the same. A person can be saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit at the same time. I admit that. And that's what happened to some as we read the Acts of the Apostles. But for Christians, there are Christians who, like those Ephesian Christians, have received the Lord but have not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter's message on the day of Pentecost to that great crowd that assembled, that had come together having heard the phenomenon of this mighty rushing wind. Peter's message to them on that day when the Holy Spirit fell was, repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you will be filled with power. The Greek word is the word dunamis. It's where we get our English word dynamite. You shall be filled with power, with dynamite. In other words, Jesus said, there will be an explosion of God's life within you when you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Paul referred to the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Spirit, as a treasure in an earthen vessel. He said, this treasure is in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Friends, what we have inside of us is from God. John said, you have an anointing. That anointing, he was referring to the Holy Spirit. He said, you have an anointing from the Holy One. And that anointing abides where? Within. Notice, it doesn't come from above. It doesn't come from any external source. The anointing of God, friends, is in you. And God is able to do far exceedingly abundantly more than we can ever ask or think, according to the Spirit that dwells in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as a river. He was referring on that great day of the feast when he stood and cried, "If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." He was making reference to the rivers of living water that Ezekiel saw coming out of the temple. And that water started at ankle height and then knee height and then waist height. And then there were waters to swim in. And that water went down from the temple in Jerusalem. And it went down towards the Dead Sea through the Judean wilderness. And Ezekiel said everything that this river touched, it began to live. Barren places began to spring up with life. Even the fish in the Dead Sea. There were no fish. But when the water touched the Dead Sea, and do you know why it's called the Dead Sea? Because nothing can live in it. Friends, this will actually happen when Jesus comes back. This will actually happen. But Jesus was referring to it, this prophecy of Ezekiel. When he said, out of you will flow rivers of living water. What he was saying, everything you come into contact with will live. Wherever the river touches, wherever the Holy Spirit comes, there will be life. There will be a dynamic, there will be a dunamis, a dynamite, an explosion of God's life to all that you come into contact with. Friends, this river of life flows out of my life and it flows out of your life. And the Bible says it's able to meet every need that mankind has. Hallelujah. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I thank God the Holy Spirit is able to meet every single need of mankind. There is nothing too hard for him. He's able to do far exceedingly abundantly, more than we could ever ask or think, according to the Spirit that dwells in us. This treasure we have, this anointing we have within, that Jesus said would flow out of us like rivers of living water. This river of life that lives in you and me when we are full of the Holy Spirit, when we are baptized in the Spirit, has 9 outlets. The Bible says there is only one baptism. But from the one baptism in the Holy Spirit, there are 9 manifestations. Or 9 outlets that the Holy Spirit flows out of the indwelling believer. It's referred to in the Bible, these 9 manifestations, as the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. Notice, friends, the Holy Spirit, God has given the Holy Spirit to the believer. By God, it's got nothing to do with us. The Holy Spirit, friends, is a gift given by God. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with us. It's everything to do with God. The Holy Spirit is referred to in the Bible as the gift of God. And so these gifts are given to us by God, and he gives to believers these gifts severally as he wills. In other words, if God doesn't will, and if God doesn't give the gift, there'll be no gift given. Nothing will be given. Can I say, friends, we are only vessels. None of us can boast. We are what we are by the grace of God. That's why Paul said, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Don't think for one minute that you're the bee's knees. Because everything that we've got comes from God. Everything, friends. The power within us, the Bible says, it is of God. This treasure we have in earthen vessels is of God, and it's not of us. These gifts are not resident. A lot of Christians talk about people who've got the gift of healing, the gift of miracles. Friends, if Christians had the gift of healings and had the gift of miracles, every person they laid hands on would be healed. They would be seeing miracles every day. But why is it that they don't receive them? Or it doesn't happen like that? It's because God hasn't given the gift. These are miraculous manifestations of the Spirit's power, and only God can give them. What is resident is the Holy Spirit, the baptism, the rivers within. When we are full of the Holy Spirit, friends, when we are baptized in the Spirit, God can use any single one of us with any of the 9 gifts. Any single one of us can be used by God in any of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Usually, the Bible says he gives severally as he will. That means more than one. Usually when a gift has been operated, there will be more than one gift operated. You might have the working of miracles alongside the gifts of healing, or a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom working together. But he gives the gifts. He is the giver. We are only vessels. So when a gift is in operation, 3 things that might help you. It's all of God. It is God speaking. It is God revealing and God working in power. God speaking, God revealing things, and God working in power. We are not able to meet need, but he is. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But he is able to do far exceedingly abundantly, more than we can ever ask or think, according to the Spirit that works in us. The Bible says of those first century believers, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Signs should follow the believer. These signs shall follow those who believe. Friends, God has committed to us the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Every one of us here have been commissioned to preach the gospel, the good news. But did you know that the gospel is not just in word? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God that brings salvation to those who believe. Another time Paul said, when I come to you, when I visit you, I'm not just coming in word only, but I am coming in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Friends, God wants to use every single one of us here because he's commissioned us to go and preach the gospel. And he said if we will believe, signs will follow the preaching of the word of God. Our responsibility is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be full of God on a daily basis, and to maintain the life of the Spirit's fullness. Because we leak. That's why there is only one baptism, but there are many fillings. And every day, friends, it should be our main responsibility that day to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you know when you're full of the Holy Spirit? Well, I mentioned some things last time that I think maintain the Spirit's fullness. Keep walking in the light. Keep living a life free from sin. And when you do sin, as sin we do, because if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. When we sin, keep short accounts with God. Repent, confess it, forsake it, and receive God's forgiveness. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm talking about something, friends, on a daily basis. Keep walking in the light every day. Keep short accounts with God. Keep reading the Word of God. Become people of the book. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Friends, you can't be full of the Holy Ghost if you neglect the Word of God. His Word is a living Word. And we've got to let the Word of God dwell in us richly. We've got to read the Word. We've got to soak in the Word. Be people of the book. Be people, friends, who keep full of the Holy Ghost by speaking in tongues every day to yourself, often. Keep full of God. Stir up the gift of God. These and other things help us to maintain a daily walk with God. Help us to maintain the Spirit's fullness in our lives. So that on a daily basis, we are ready and prepared for the Master's use. Vessels set apart, ready, prepared to be used by God. God will use vessels that are prepared, vessels that are ready. Friends, if God's wanting to use any one of us, let me tell you the people who He'll use. The ready ones and the prepared ones. Those who are full of the Holy Ghost. When we wake up on a morning, be ready. Be prepared that day. That when we go to work, when we go to the shops, when we meet with people in the street, when we have conversations with people, we are ready and prepared. For God to use us. For the river of God within us to flow out of us. And to touch the needs that we meet. You know, Peter was ready. He was prepared. When he met that man at the beautiful gate of the temple, he was ready. He was on his way to the prayer meeting. He wasn't going to the prayer meeting to get ready. He was ready when he went. Sometimes we go to a meeting to get ready, don't we? To get prepared, to get built up. Friends, wouldn't it be wonderful if we all came to the meeting built up? Amen. Eh? If we all came to the meeting and do what Paul said, when you come together, every one of you has got something to contribute. Something to give of God. Paul said, when I come amongst you, I come that I might impart something of God. Wouldn't it be marvelous if every one of us imparted something of God into a meeting? That we're so full that when we walked through those doors and when we began to worship, the power of God just began to flow out of the words that we worship with. And the atmosphere was charged with the anointing of God, ready and prepared for the Master's use. Peter said, I don't have anything like gold or silver. I'm not a wealthy man, but what I have, I'm giving to you. What I have, he knew he had something. Friends, God help us to be people who know that we've got something from God. The power within us is not of ourselves, it is of God. Such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And immediately, I like that word, immediately, his ankle bones received strength. Hallelujah. When Jesus healed that little woman that was had an hemorrhage for 18 years, hemorrhaging of blood. And when she reached out and touched his garment, that word comes again. Immediately, she knew in herself that she'd been healed. And the power that went out of him went into her. Because he said, I sense power, virtue has gone out of me. And what that woman felt was the power of God that came from him. Hallelujah. Out of him, the river flowed. What that man at the beautiful gate of the temple felt, immediately, his ankle bones, he felt it. It had come from Peter, who realized that God was able to do far exceedingly abundantly, more than Peter could ask or think, according to the power that worked in him. Perhaps a more fitting title to the Acts of the Apostles should be the Acts of the Risen Christ. Because I want to tell you, friends, it wasn't only the apostles that we read about in the Acts. These were the Acts of the Risen Christ that were being carried on through believers. And did you know they've never stopped? The Acts are still being written by ordinary men and women like you and me. By believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. These signs shall follow those who believe. The book of Acts. Just what it says it is, isn't it? It's got Acts on the tin and it's got Acts in the can. The whole book is filled with what God was doing through ordinary people, through ordinary men and women. God demonstrated his power through them in meeting human need. And contained in this book of Acts, we have a record of the river of God, the Holy Spirit flowing out of those who were filled. When you look at the book of Acts, you see the nine gifts, the nine outlets, the nine manifestations of the baptism. You see all those outlets. You see all those manifestations taking place. We see God speaking. We see God revealing. We see God working in power. Isaiah prophesied about the coming Messiah who would proclaim. Isaiah 8 and verse 18 is this prophecy about the Messiah, about Jesus. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me, they are for signs and wonders in Israel. Hallelujah. We have been chosen by God. We have been set apart by God to be used by God. Vessels ready to be used. A people of signs and wonders. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Friends, a witness is not somebody just standing proclaiming that they belong to Jesus. The witnesses took place as the signs followed the preaching of the Word of God, testifying to the fact that Jesus was alive. Greater works than these that I do, you shall do also. And greater, because I go to my Father who is in heaven. The Holy Spirit couldn't be given until Jesus was glorified. But once he was glorified, once he sat down at the right hand of God, he poured out the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I like that. He poured it out. Friends, he's still pouring it out on those who believe. Those who receive the baptism is still being poured out. On the day of Pentecost, that assembled crowd heard those who were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says they heard them speaking in other tongues and magnifying God as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Speaking in tongues, as I said a couple of weeks ago, is not the only evidence that a person's been baptized in the Spirit, but it is the initial evidence. In fact, I would go as far to say it is the biblical evidence. Yes. Friends, don't go about what others experience. Go about what the Bible says. Yes. And when you read on the baptism of the Holy Spirit coming upon believers in the Acts of the Apostles, we read that the manifestation was they spoke in tongues. Only once it doesn't mention that they spoke in tongues, and that's when Ananias laid his hands upon Saul of Tarsus. And it says scales fell from his eyes, and he arose and he was baptized, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now it doesn't say there on that occasion in Straight Street that Paul spoke in tongues, but we know he did. We know that he did. In fact, he said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Hallelujah. It is the initial sign. And when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, friends, and you receive the gift of the Spirit by faith, you will speak in tongues as well, as the Holy Spirit will give you utterance. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit, broken down into 3 categories. There are vocal gifts, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. There are 3 gifts of revelation: the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And there are 3 gifts of God's power: the working of miracles, the gift of faith, and the gift of healings. So these 9 gifts all flow from this baptism, this river. Out of you, these 9 gifts flow. The 3 gifts of revelation and the 3 gifts of power are all to do with God. The human element does not come into it. In other words, you can't operate these gifts unless God gives you them. The only human element that comes into it, you become a channel for God to use you in the gift. But when you come to the 3 vocal gifts, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, it is then that the human element does come into it. Because the Bible says these gifts are exercised by faith. And so this is where the faith of the person comes into it. The 3 vocal gifts are operated according to our faith. That is why prophecy has got to be judged. When it talks about tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, please understand it's not talking about somebody who prophesies is not a prophet. Please understand that, because a prophet is one of the 5 gifts of the risen Christ given to the church: the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. But somebody who simply prophesies is not a prophet. The simple gift of prophecy is to build up, to stir up, and to cheer up. It's not to give guidance. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification, that builds you up, exhortation, that stirs you up, and comfort, that brings the consolation of God, the comfort of God. So Paul instructs the Corinthian church, he would that you rather prophesied than you spoke in tongues or interpret. He said, greater is he. What did he mean by that? He said, greater is he who prophesies than he who speaks in tongues. He was meaning greater in faith. You need more faith to prophesy than you do to give a message in tongues. You need more faith to interpret a message in English than you do to give a message in tongues. And so it seems as though a message in tongues is the starting point, but then there is the a greater level of faith that will take somebody, because he says, if you speak in tongues, pray that you might interpret, that the church might receive edification. So it takes greater faith. It takes greater faith to prophesy. The Corinthian church had become preoccupied with speaking in tongues. And that's why the whole of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is to bring correction to misuse that was going on in the Corinthian church. You know, friends, fire in the grate is safe. Once it's out, it can do damage. And so Paul had to bring some correction to the Corinthians because they had become preoccupied with the vocal gifts, especially speaking in tongues. And as you study the scriptures, you find that the Word of God teaches there is a private use for tongues, there is a public use for tongues, and there is a proper use for tongues. Let me talk for a minute about the private use. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and receive the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, do you know, friends, that is the great, wonderful gift that God gives to you. It is the only gift that will benefit you. And Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. When you speak in tongues, the Bible says you edify yourself. You build yourself up. In fact, one of the wonderful ways to keep full of the Holy Spirit is to speak in tongues privately. And so this gift of tongues, this tongues that God gives us as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, is more than anything else. It's for our private use. It's for us as believers to get built up in the things of God. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself. You edify yourself when you speak in tongues. And can I encourage us all, if you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, every day we should be speaking in tongues as often as we can. We don't have to close our eyes to do it. We can do it when we're driving the car. We can do it when we're at work. We don't have to speak it out aloud. Speak to yourself. Speak to yourself. You know, that inner voice of the Spirit. So you can be speaking in tongues and building yourself up in God. Then there is the public use. In the church, Paul said, I would rather speak five words with a language that could be understood than 10,000 words in tongues that people don't understand. So Paul here is given some instruction as to what should happen in church. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 12 says, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So what was happening in Corinth, everybody was speaking in tongues. Everybody was speaking in tongues, and Paul said, how do those who hear, how can they understand? So he gave an instruction to them. He said, if anybody's going to speak in, give a message in tongues in the church, he said, let it be two, or at the most, three people. He said, let it be two or three. This is the proper use of this gift. Each message followed by an interpretation. Notice it's not a translation. It is, and the Paul said, if there's no interpreter, let him stay silent. So that means when you go into a church that you don't know anything about, it would be very foolish for you to give a message in tongues, because there may not be anyone to give you an interpretation for it. That's why he said, you who give a message in tongues, pray that you might interpret the message. What was he meaning by that? He was simply meaning, these vocal gifts are for the confines of the church. Talking about when the church gathers together. What he was basically saying is this. You might start these vocal gifts by giving a message in tongues, but after you've given one message in tongues, you rather should be praying that the next message in tongues that someone gives, you'll be able to interpret it. And then he said, but rather that you prophesy. Can you see the progression of faith? He was saying, I don't want you to get all hung up about giving a message in tongues, because unfortunately, friends, there are many Spirit-filled believers, this is where they've stopped. They've stopped giving, they give a message in tongues and think that's it. Paul said, I would rather you give five words in a language that could be understood. But to qualify that, he said, don't forbid to speak in tongues. Don't forbid to speak in tongues. But what he was trying to get them at, move on. Move on in faith. Move on, that you who speak in tongues, if you give a message in tongues, pray that you might interpret. So that the next one who gives a message in tongues in the church, somebody else will have the interpretation. And when you've given that interpretation, it'll give you more faith to say, I can prophesy. Hallelujah. I can speak the word, I can speak edification and comfort to the believer, to build the believer up. Hallelujah. God has baptized us with the Holy Spirit, friends, so that we would be his witnesses. And when we talk about these three vocal gifts, it would seem this is when the church, when the believers were assembled together, that God was encouraging them to use these gifts of the Spirit to build themselves up in the things of God. I've already said that God can use us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, with any of the gifts. Gifts of revelation and power to meet the need that we confront at any time. That's why Paul exhorted the Corinthian church, desire spiritual gifts. Earnestly desire them. Why? For the good of others. For the good of others. You see, tongues will benefit you. A message in tongues will benefit the church. Prophecy will benefit the church. But when we get onto these other gifts, let me tell you, they will benefit others who are not believers. They will benefit mankind total. All the gifts of revelation and power. You can often see these gifts in operation in the Old Testament. They were there. There's only one gift that wasn't in in the Old Testament out of the nine. And that was the gift of tongues. That was the only gift. All the other gifts you can see right throughout the Old Testament at work. Gifts of power, gifts of revelation. Even the writing on the wall and the translation that Daniel had. The revealing of things that Joseph had. All the gifts of the Spirit, friends, were given there in the Old Testament. But let's just take a moment to quickly look at some of these wonderful gifts. The gifts of revelation. Word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, and a word of wisdom. These gifts, when God uses us in them, will reveal things to us that we didn't previously know before. One second we don't know, the next second we do. Because God reveals something to us that we didn't know before. And we could never have known unless God had showed us. Ananias, I want you to go to a street called Straight. In a vision, he heard the Lord speaking to him. And there you'll find a man called Saul. He's praying. Words of knowledge. Words of knowledge were coming to him, told him where to go to. He didn't know that. One minute he didn't know it, the next he did. He had a word of knowledge. Philip, I want you to go into the desert. And in obedience he went. He had a word of knowledge. Because God had a eunuch coming towards him who would take the gospel to Ethiopia through that encounter. Words of knowledge. Friends, God can use you in words of knowledge. God can reveal things to you. He can show you things through a word of knowledge. Peter, how did he know that Ananias, who was it? Ananias and Sapphira. They sold their land, but they kept back and told a lie how much they'd sold it for. The rest came and put the money at the apostles' feet. How did Peter know that they told lies? Simply had a word of knowledge from God. A word of knowledge. You've lied to the Holy Spirit, not to men. Words of wisdom. Oft times you can find the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Wisdom, friends, will give guidance. It will point to what is coming ahead. It will show to what's going to happen. And oft times the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom are working together. When Saul said to Ananias, when the Lord said to Ananias, I want you to go to Straight Street and there you'll find Saul. That was a word of knowledge. But he also said, and I will show him the great things that he's going to suffer. Tell him that he will stand before kings and emperors for my sake and the gospel's. That was a word of wisdom. God was pointing into the future what would happen to Saul of Tarsus in the future. A word of wisdom came to him. Friends, words of knowledge are to reveal things that are hidden, that we don't know. Words of wisdom, that's why the prophets in the Old Testament, they were called seers before they were called prophets. In other words, they saw things. And you find that the prophet would oft times operate in these two gifts, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, revealing things, gifts of revelation. How many of us believe God could use us in these gifts, eh? Friends, the river's inside of you. The river's inside of you from which these gifts begin to flow. Discerning of spirits is another gift of revelation. There's a lot of confusion over this gift. A lot of damage being done. Friends, it doesn't come by observing people. It doesn't come by weighing people up. Some people are good at weighing people up. It doesn't come like that. It's something that you didn't know before that God reveals to you. It's the discerning of evil spirits at work. It's the discerning of spirits. Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." It was revealed to the Lord that Satan was using Peter to try and deter him from going to the cross. When Paul was at Philippi and he was at the riverside, the Bible says, for many days they were praying there, that there was a girl who had a spirit of divination. Paul didn't know that at the time because this young girl was following them every day that they were going to the prayer meeting. And every day she was calling out, "These are the servants of the Most High God who bring to us the way of salvation." Sounded great, didn't it? And she did this for many days, the Bible says. And to everyone else, it seemed as this young girl was glorifying God. Then one day, Paul got discerning of spirits. One day, God gave him this gift. And he cast the demon out of her. Because it was Satan who was revealing that. Jesus would sometimes pray for people to be healed. In other times, he would cast a spirit out, and healing would come. You see, he had discerning of spirits. Friends, we can't conjure this one up. It comes from God. He reveals things. Hallelujah. And time's gone. So we're going to quickly rattle through the other three. The gifts of power, faith, miracles, healings. The gift of faith. When Lorraine shared a testimony this morning, what she received in her bedroom that day, Lorraine, it was a gift of faith. I'm not talking about natural faith. I'm talking about a gift of faith that you know something's going to happen before it happens. We all, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. We've all got a measure of faith, every one of us here. But that is not the gift of faith. The gift of faith, friends, is when you know something that you didn't know before. Peter had a gift of faith in operation before he got hold of that man. The gift of faith that told him that this man was going to be healed. When you've got a gift of faith, friends, in fact, the other gifts operate usually after the gift of faith has been received. So the gift of faith and the working of miracles and the gifts of healing usually flow together. We all have got some faith, a measure of it, but this is not the gift that the Bible's talking about. The gift of faith is greater than ordinary faith, if you can call faith ordinary. Faith is not ordinary, is it? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. But when you have a gift of faith, you know that something's going to happen. Hallelujah. You are totally convinced it's going to happen. Jesus knew before Lazarus was raised from the tomb. He'd been stinking in there for 4 days. Jesus knew that he was going to come out of that tomb. He knew it. The Bible talks about these are the greater gifts, the power gifts, the gifts of healing. Pages of scripture are scattered with the gifts of healing taking place. Divine healing, friends. Let me tell you, it's not faith healing. It's divine healing. Only God heals the sick. God does use doctors and medical science to heal people. God does use them. But can I say very reverently, thank God for doctors. Thank God for all that medical science does. But this is not the gift of healing that's talked about here in the Bible. Friends, this is no more the gift when doctors heal through Harley Street or wherever. Let me tell you, this is not the gift that the Bible's talking about. This is talking about the gift of healing that comes direct from God. And will happen instantaneously. Dorcas is a great example. Acts 9 verse 36. How Peter raised Dorcas from her deathbed. And the working of miracles. That's something that's beyond explanation. You can't explain it. Jails open on their own. People walk on water. Water's turned into wine. The unexplainable that goes against science and everything else. Philip is transported from the Ethiopian eunuch, transported, and he's found at Azotus. The Spirit of God lifts him from one place and puts him in another in a split second, miles away from each other. The working of miracles. Friends, I really believe God's still working miracles today. Amen. Can I say the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today? Are we really wanting to be used by God? Are we really wanting to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? And signs following us as we live That's why we've got to desire spiritual gifts. Do you desire them? Have you got a hunger and thirst to be used by God? The reason God gives gifts is to meet need. And if we want need to be met, friends, without the baptism in the Holy Ghost and without us being full of the Holy Ghost, we can't expect to be used by God. I really believe God's word to us this morning is to be filled with the Spirit. Yes. And out of you shall flow rivers of living water. How different your life and my life would be if we lived our lives with an expectancy that this day God was going to use us, eh? That when we woke up on a morning, some people get bored. Friends, there would be no boredom if we were living full of the Holy Ghost. Because God could speak to us at any time and say, go and see so-and-so. And give us a word of knowledge. And we'll go. God, we could be talking to somebody and God could drop a word of wisdom into our hearts. That we could speak that word out, giving direction to a person. We could meet a cripple, and God could put a gift of faith in us that could say to that cripple, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. Hallelujah. God can put bones back together. In fact, friends, He can put things back together that are not there. Hallelujah. A miracle. See, Lazarus didn't only come back from the dead. That was a miracle, wasn't it? But whatever he died of was healed. There was a healing took place as well. The clear teaching of the New Testament is that God gives spiritual gifts to the church for the good of mankind and to empower her mission to evangelize the world. Hallelujah. May our lives be so filled with the Holy Ghost. Friends, what potential's in this room this morning? Potential to go out into the world and declare Jesus is alive. Hallelujah.